You're about to listen to the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast, an 8122 production in association with hashtag 607 podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. Nerds, and welcome back to your weekly dose of all that is pop culture and nerdum with your three favorite fat nerds. That's right, it's time for the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast, better known as 3FN. And as always, we are coming to you from the 8122 production studios at Dragon Master Games. I am your host, Rich. With me, as always, is the man who, if his job was gone tomorrow, would get a new job as a vacuum cleaner salesman. I'm talking about Ron.
What's happening?
And, of course, he is the man that doesn't need an introduction, but yet has the longest introduction of all podcasting. That's right. You might know him as the man of 1,004 hashtags. We're just going to name a few. Hashtag Big Natty Cool. Hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style. Hashtag Challenge Accepted. Hashtag Challenge Declined. Hashtag the Ginger Juggernaut. It's your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster, the man, the myth, and the legend rolled up into one jolly old ginger bundle. I'm talking about Diesel.
I wish I had half the energy you have right now.
I'm in autopilot. I am so tired. I am in autopilot. And I can tell you this much. I do your introduction enough that I can do it on command. And people used to not believe that I did it live until we started streaming. We always had people like, oh, you just play the open. No, I do the whole open. I can do it live. I just do pretty much the same thing. Lately, I've been trying to come up with different things for Ron, so I'm kind of getting the hit and miss parts. Me, I'm the only one I don't do an introduction for, because that'd be like real pompous. I'm like, it'd be really weird. I mean, I guess you could. You could put yourself over big. If you want to hear me get put over big, you just tune into Horror Zone 607 every week, anywhere you find podcasts, by searching Horror Zone 607, because Mike C. does a good job of coming up with a creative way to introduce me every week. Nice. So I will give him credit there. And you can hear that. So with that being said, though, it's been one hell of a week. It's been another week in the lives of the three gentlemen at the table. Ronald, how has been your week?
Interesting. Let's get those Patreons up, because there's some stories that could be told.
Ron is looking at the 200 patron level.
Oh, you have no idea.
If we can hit 200 patrons on Patreon, he will tell you what's going on in his life every week. If we hit 125, he will give you his whole life story up until now. So he's
up
got
until
that.
When we started podcasting.
Okay, there you go. There's the deals. And, of course, Diesel has a deal in place as well. His is much more obtainable. At 50, he'll tell you the Bob the Builder story. And at 100, he will share stuff about his family, because he doesn't care about burning bridges as long as we can get him a car. True stories, folks. So if you want to step it up, patreon.com/8122productions, and you can hear all that and more. I know it's half-assed a joke. It's actually real.
It is real.
If you wanted to make lump payments also, I'm sure that we don't care about if the level, if somebody just wanted to drop 200, I'm sure Ron would give some of the stories.
Shit, you just buy me a pack of cigarettes right now and I'll bitch about everybody in my family right now. Even the ones I like.
Jeez, it's too good. It's only funny because it's real. Yeah. With that being said, though, we got a show planned for you. But beforehand, let me hit you up with how to get a hold of us in any single circumstances. You know what? You can find us anywhere. Why is this always happening? Why does the iPad get turned down? Oh, that's right, because I use it for other things, not just a podcast. But anyways, if you would like to get a hold of us to talk about anything we talk about here or anything else, no, that's the cell phone. anything else, you can find us at 3FatNerdsPodcast on Facebook, at 3FatNerdsPod on Twitter and Instagram, hashtag 3FN whenever you're talking about the flagship show. You can also find out all the information about the show and everything else going to 8122productions.com. Go ahead and visit that website. A lot of things under the work. I got it under construction. There's going to be even more there very shortly. Of course, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. If you would like to support the show monetarily and get a ton of extra bonus content, including the two exclusive shows to Patreon, that is I Love Movies and, of course, the hottest show behind a paywall, Love is Scary with Dr. Derek, you can find that at patreon.com/8122productions. as little as $1 a month. There's only two tiers, a $1 tier and a $3 tier. We are running a special from now until September 30th. If you sign up for the $1 tier, we will send you a Three Fat Nerds and a Horizone 607 sticker. If you sign up for the $3 tier, we will send you both stickers, a pin, and a cup. That is what we're doing from now until September 30th to say thank you. So go ahead and get those in if you're not already there. We have a lot of happy customers, including Ken M. of the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour. He listens every week. So hi, Ken. With that being said, that is going on to our next venture, which is Twitch. We are on Twitch, twitch.tv/607podcast. And over there on Twitch, we got a lot going on. Every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, myself and Ken M. bring you 607 Podcast presents The Wrestling Show. You know, it's on this podcast network as a podcast, but you can listen live and chat with us and get your opinion heard right on the show as it happens every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also coming up this weekend on twitch.tv/607podcast, Saturday night the 26th, we have UFC 253 Adesanya versus Costa. We'll be giving our live reactions and commentary during that. It's usually a fun time. And of course, the next night on September 27th, we will be coming with you our live actions and commentary for WWE's Clash of Champions, covering more stuff there. And that's leading us, of course, into October 3rd, DMG-a-thon, where we're going to try to raise some good money for the good people at DMG and other charities by streaming all damn day long. And of course, we're going to main event that with Shot at the Robots taking the DMG stage at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, after they're done around 9:15, we will have Floodlands playing. So that's coming up in a couple weeks. Tune in there. You can donate to some great causes and also get tons of great entertainment during DMG-a-thon on October 3rd. And we have so much more. So go ahead, follow us over on twitch.tv/607podcast, and you can find out whenever we're going live. I'm going to be playing some MTG Arena on there too soon, as me and Derek were talking about. And I played some Destiny, and I'll probably be doing some more Destiny 2 and more stuff to come on that channel. So lots of stuff, and you can chat with us there as well. Wow, the plugs always have me tired out, and I was already tired beforehand. So guys, what do you say we get excited, because guess what time it is? It's time for this week's installment of the Nerd News. And leading off the Nerd News, probably the biggest story of the week. Yesterday, as we record, because it was Sunday, and here we got the trailer for Disney Plus's show WandaVision, which of course Padawan Jay from the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour tipped everybody off that it was coming earlier that day. Finally, it arrived at night. I was almost starting to doubt him. Yeah, I almost was like, "Hey, you finally struck out once." I was almost the guy of ye of little faith, but I kept the faith alive. We got the trailer, so let's talk about it. We know that the show is going to be interesting. We knew the show was going to be tying in with the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness movie, because I guess the Scarlet Witch is going to be playing a big role in that as well. Of course, this show, part of this show takes place in a 1950s style sitcom series. Part of this show looks like it takes place in the 70s. It kind of jumps all over the place from what we saw in the trailer. Before I go any further, how did you guys feel about it, Ron? How did you feel about the WandaVision trailer?
I'm good with it. It seems interesting enough to keep going.
Right? And Diesel, where were you at with this trailer?
I don't know. It looks intriguing, but it also looks like I don't know if I can deal with watching a sitcom-esque MCU installment. So I'm up in the air still on this. Like, I'm sure it's going to be great. I'll definitely watch it, but my expectations are kind of low right now.
I don't know if mine are low. I just kind of find it interesting. Of course, a lot of people are speculating that this is just something that she's using as a coping mechanism in her head.
And she's
manifesting a whole new world or multiple worlds. Yeah. And when something goes wrong, we kind of see a little bit of that in the trailer, because the people are over for dinner and they keep asking when they got married and when are they going to have kids. And that question keeps coming up, and it's like, it looks like she's being bothered and angered by it. And God knows where it goes from there, because obviously it doesn't show us the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
So it looks like, you know, that's why we're getting like what appears to be a 70s sitcom show, what appears to be a 50s sitcom show, that's what the feel that I'm getting is. And I think that's why it ties into the Multiverse of Madness, because obviously Doctor Strange has got to pull her out of whatever this is. I'm assuming that's part of the movie. I did like some of the nods in it. Of course, there was a part where she was wearing the Scarlet Witch from the comic book costume for a Halloween party or something, as well as Vision wearing the actual Vision suit. So I kind of got that. That was kind of intriguing for me. I was very happy with that, I should say. Anything else that you guys took from the trailer?
Just the fact that they might actually do it in like order. for like the sitcoms, start like 50s and then get in the next episode be the 60s. Mm-hmm. Like each time something goes wrong and they fight the big bad of the episode, you know, move forward and then she makes another one, boom, 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 all the way down. Is what I'm thinking.
That could be.
Yeah.
Could very well be.
I'm kind of excited, but like I'm being very cautious on this one.
Well, I mean, come on, you have to be cautious. This is something new. This is not something we're familiar with and we've seen before. So I'm still excited for it. I can't wait to see how this plays out. I don't know if, you know, it's going to, I don't think it's going to like leave a bad taste in my mouth. It might not be as good, but you know, hey, I'm willing to check it out, and it's definitely intriguing. And they didn't give too much away, in my opinion.
No, they didn't give away anything other than the question, are you dead?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. He's like, are you sure? Like, that's all the
game. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just kind of crazy. But we have more Disney news. Well, this is I don't know if this show is coming to Disney Plus, or it says Disney Plus. So She-Hulk is coming to Disney Plus, because for a while there was a up in the air whether it would be there or Hulu, because once again Disney owns both this. But we talked about it last week. They landed a director for She-Hulk. Of course, that would be Kat Corio. And this week they landed their star. Now, mind you, there were some big names on these lists. And they've landed Tatiana Maslany as the star of She-Hulk. She will play the lead character. Diesel, how do you feel about this?
I have no clue who she is.
That's why I went to you.
Yeah, which is fine, because like that's been like the formula for a lot of the Marvel shows. Like, get relatively unknown guys, with the exception of, you know, Kingpin and Punisher. Like, Charlie Cox, nobody really knew. Mm. Kristen Ritter, like, people knew, but it's like she wasn't a huge star. Like, I think this is what you gotta do. You can't go for like an A-list celebrity for the TV shows.
No, I agree with you. I think that's always a bonus not to. You know, there's time and a place for everything, and there's gonna be a lot more scrutiny if you hire a huge star. Do you have any strong opinions either way about this, Ronald?
No, not really, actually. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. No, you're fine.
Will I be getting a job?
She was the narrator on Orphan Black.
Yeah.
Pink Wall, she was in Pink Wall.
Yeah.
Animals, Destroyer, Troll Hunters, the animated movie. Drunk History. She's had a spot in Drunk History.
Everybody's had a spot in Drunk History.
Pretty much. I'm trying to find anything else. Robot Chicken. She did some voice acting for Robot Chicken.
So hasn't everybody else.
Yeah. BoJack Horseman. So she's done a lot of...
No, BoJack Horseman's probably there.
I was going to say, she's done a lot of voice acting.
It all depends what they do. If they go the original route of it being more of the court side of things and her lawyer aspect of things, then fine, whatever. It's just an MCU court show.
Oh, I just can't wait to see her get wrecked by Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson.
Well, because all the rights go back. Yeah. The only one that they don't have back yet is Jessica Jones, because mm-hmm. Iron Fist and Luke Cage come back.
Well, I'm assuming we'll see something eventually
next month.
So with that, we're moving on to some cancellation news. Netflix has canceled the Dark Crystal TV show, so it is no more after one season. Big budget, I'm assuming, is what made it go bye-bye.
Big budget. Every episode was like an hour. And it was long hours. Like, it wasn't a fun hour. But you got to listen to Mark Hamill.
Yeah, but the internet's not taking this one too kindly. They're a little bit upset. They're upset with Netflix canceling a lot of their favorite shows. Like, and not like, if you just want to do The Dark Crystal as a season, do The Dark Crystal as a season and be upfront with it.
Yeah.
But like, what was it? Altered Carbon, people are pissed off about.
Hey, first season was all right. Second season wasn't so good. So yeah. I'm okay with it. Like, I got halfway through the second season, like, okay.
Yeah. But the core fan base, they were not pleased with it getting cancellation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to be happy about a cancellation. I kind of get it sometimes. You know, in this case, I get the fact it's probably a big budget show and probably costs a lot of money to produce the damn thing. So, you know, they're probably just trying to cut costs. But at the same end, speaking to it, you also gotta like please the fans at some point in juncture. Oh. And you're in a war right now. You are literally in a war with Disney Plus and HBO Max. You're not the, you know, you're still the number one dog because of longevity, but how long is that gonna last? We've seen how fast Disney Plus is moving up to subscriber levels, and they haven't even revealed most of their shows. Let's think about it. They still have all the Marvel stuff to come. I mean, we talked about WandaVision, but there's still all the other Marvel shows to come. There's still more Star Trek shows to come. I mean, or Star Trek, Star Wars. This is Star Trek. Wars. Star Trek, I think, is on
HBO on, Access.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, but HBO Max, on the other hand, they're adding stuff. They got bad. You know, they got Bad Robot as producing movies.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of talk of what they're doing over there. So I mean,
Well, this is like the thing that I don't understand when it's your original content. Why do you just put a cancel on it?
Yeah, just put a hold.
Yeah, put it on hold.
Just put it. Just set it aside. Like, and it's not like you
can't go back.
Yeah, we're not going to do this a season a year. We're going to do a season when we're ready.
Yeah, and like, I don't understand the whole cancel thing.
But yeah, it's not like a TV station. Yeah. I get it. It shouldn't be like treated like a TV show.
Devil's advocate, though. As long as this makes six seasons of movies for Cobra Kai, I'm fine.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
I think you can get more than six.
Easily. Easily can get more than six, but we'll see.
Well, it depends on what happens to Miguel.
Yeah, yeah. If we get Million Dollar Babied, we could be in trouble.
I am stopping watching if I get Million Dollar Babied. Flat out. I will not watch.
Oh, she should show up. That'd be amazing.
Oh,
that'd be
awesome.
Well,
she was the next Karate Kid. She was. We could tie her in.
Tie her right in?
Tie her right in there.
She's the one that does the next surgery on him.
No, that's probably going to be...
No. No. Just shut your mouth. Shut your whore mouth.
It's going to be the alley chick.
Oh. Yeah. That's what's going to happen there. Who just got
She's
recently?
Gonna be the doctor.
Who just got recently divorced?
Yeah, her, and Johnny Lawrence, the real hero of the fucking show and the movies.
It's amazing at how they make that fit.
It is
in this whole season, in all both seasons.
No, because we need Johnny Lawrence to be Coach Bombay and fuck Miguel's mom.
Whoa!
Flat out, he needs to go full Coach Bombay.
Oh, he was already dreaming about doing it. So
exactly.
Well, let's move.
I just love the fact that I'm sorry, that whole thing. It's like, oh, what do you like to do? Iron Eagle. And Iron Eagle 2.
Yeah. Well, moving on before Diesel gets into too much trouble, I can save that for the break. We got to talk about some PS4 or PS5 news.
What?
Of course, last week they dropped, after we recorded, they dropped the bombshells when everything's coming out. I do believe November, well, it's Black Friday. By Black Friday, everything is out in full swing. Pre-orders already started this week.
Sold out everywhere.
Sold out everywhere, but PlayStation is saying that they will have more than enough systems ready to be bought and purchased throughout the holiday season so people don't have to worry. That's what they're saying. Also, price point. I thought that was an interesting one. We'll start there, Ron. They announced two price points. Xbox had done the same thing. The difference is Xbox was giving you a lesser system for less money. PS5 is giving you the same system, just minus one feature. So for the $499 price point, which is the most you can get, you get, you know, the same, it's the same schematics. It's a 2 terabyte hard drive, which is amazing for memory. That's going to be really good for people. It's got, you know, the same drives and everything as both ones. So I'm not going to waste my time and going over all the specs. But the difference between the $499 and the $399 version is the $499 version, you get the disk drive, and the $399 version is digital download only. So if you're already buying your games like me digitally downloaded, then you don't have to worry about the damn disk drive. But if you want the disk drive, it costs $100 more. How do you feel about that as a gamer?
I'm fine with it.
I am. I'm glad.
Like it gives you the option, because there are enough people out there that are just old school enough that they still want to buy their games and not download them, so they have physical copies. There's enough people now that are just like, whatever, just give me the physical copy or the downloaded copy and I'm good. Obviously, Sony and all the game companies want you to just do digital, so you can't just take it with you.
Yeah, but at the same point, it's convenient, too.
Yeah, but like most people, it's all online play anyways now for most things, so it doesn't really matter to have the physical copy to take over to your friend's house, because you just play each other in your own places. And
yeah.
So the physical copy is just there for the collectors, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't really see where it is, makes a difference. All the physical copy does for me is it clutters. Like, I still have discs that I don't need from a PS1 and a PS2. Like, think about that. Like, it's... If I go through my stuff, I think I have every PlayStation system disc sitting around my house somewhere in storage. Like, come on. It's just cluttering. I'm saying. It's not like those games... It's not like the old cartridge games where there's a market for them. There ain't no market. There ain't no market.
Depends what games there are.
Yeah, well, yeah. But think about how many marketable games in the cartridge era there are compared to the CD era. So with that being said, I have no offense to that. I think it's great for somebody like me who doesn't want to spend $500 on a machine. I can spend $400. And I'm not sacrificing any of the specs. I'm not sacrificing better graphics. I'm not sacrificing the memory space. All of it's the same. It's the exact same. The only difference between the $399 and the $499 version is the disc player, which I guess to put that in is $70. So, and they're taking a loss. We found out, and they were open about it, they're taking a loss on every system. But then again, they always do. Yeah. That's not a surprise, because they make up their money elsewhere.
It's not the system that they want to make the money on. It's the games
and exclusive rights and et cetera. So with that being said, though, they had of course they talked about their controller, the new controller, the new and improved controller. I guess there's going to be some features on this controller where it'll give you a little bit of resistance when you're shooting, like firing guns and stuff, to give you more of a feel for it. I guess the touch screen is better on this one. You know, that middle part that we thought we were going to be using for the PS4 and really never used. It lights up pretty colors sometimes. Woo. That's about it. But this one, I guess, is going to be used a little more. I don't know. I'm not really over the hill about the controller, but a controller doesn't sell games to me. Of course, they... Or doesn't sell a system to me.
Yeah.
It does. You really care about the controller?
Saturn. That was the biggest downfall for Sega Saturn. That controller was freaking retarded.
I don't know. I like that controller though.
I didn't like the N64 controller.
Yeah, well, the N64 controller.
Like the N64 controller, I freaking hated.
Oh, that was the best controller ever.
No.
Oh, it was a good controller. Some games you had to play like this. Most games you played like this. What was the hard deal? Hmm? Oh.
That thumbstick, if you learned how to use it, was pretty good. So good. Pretty badass. I will say that. I don't know. Actually, you know which Nintendo controller I didn't like was the GameCube.
The GameCube
controller.
It was set up weird, but if you were able, once you got used to it, it was just like muscle.
Where the thumb things were weird.
Well, like, one was high, one was low. It was strange. And then you had the A, B, X, like A, B on top, and then like Y in the middle, and then like the Z was to the bottom left. It was bad placement.
Yeah,
but once you got used to it, it wasn't horrible. It was actually comfortable in your hands.
But they also announced some games that will be coming in year one launch. Of course, the new God of War game. Did nobody see that one coming? They've got a lot of stuff planned out. Of course, the Dark Souls remastered. Remember how everybody thought Dark Souls remastered was coming for PS4? No, PS5. so they skipped a generation, which is fine. They're doing all sorts of crazy stuff there. We could go on and forever. But the thing that I think was the mic drop moment for them is that, of course, one of the benefits of being a PlayStation player, like me, as PS Plus, and they've always tried to give you value. You do pay for it as a yearly thing. It's about $55-$60 a year, and when you sign up for a year, they at least throw you for some free games. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. During the pandemic, they've been pretty good about some pretty good titles.
I haven't checked on it lately, so
I don't know what the new ones for this month. But
yeah, I missed the last 2 months.
Everybody's favorite game, Fall Guys, was brand new and was on there. So PS Plus, they have announced for the PS5 launch day titles. Launch day. PS Plus won't just be giving you games to download. They'll be giving you games to stream, kind of like the PS Now. This is the collection that you get day one launch as a PS Plus member for PS5. Ready? God of War, Bloodborne, Monster Hunter World, Final Fantasy 15, Fallout 4, Mortal Kombat X, Uncharted 4, Thief's End, Ratchet & Clank, Days Gone, Until Dawn, Detroit Become Human, Battlefield 1, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us, Persona 5, and Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. Those will all be free to play as a PS Plus member on PS5 on launch.
Nice.
File that, Xbox. Like, seriously, like, that was the moment where it's like, file that. It was like DC dropping the Batman trailer. It's like, follow that one, Xbox. Diesel, you're not a gamer, so that didn't impress you at all. No. There's some pretty good game titles in there, is all you need to know, Diesel. Those are all going to be remastered for PS5 versions of some of the best PS4 games out in the market.
Yeah,
in my opinion, there's a lot of them in there. That Resident Evil 7 Biohazard remaster is going to be great, just because it's going to be better graphics. It was already a great game. That's going to be fun to play
through. And it gets people that didn't buy the games or only got one or two of them be like, oh, if I buy this, I can play this game that I wanted to get.
So, and on top of that, we know the new God of War game is coming out. You can play the first one in the new lineage, because this is a direct sequel to this God of War. So there you go. But not to be outdone, there was some big news coming out of the Xbox camp as well. Xbox has come to an agreement and has acquired Bethesda Games. Of course, you know them as the developers of Doom, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, and a ton of other games, but those I think would be the most of it. Meaning which, since it is now owned by Xbox, those games will probably be exclusive to the Xbox. How do you feel about that, Ron?
As I'm a gamer.
No new Doom game for the PS4 or PS5?
Fine, whatever. Like, the last one was all right. It wasn't, you know, the one before it was, it was kind of, they tried to make it open world type of feel, like like it used to be, but it was still kind of the straight, just, you have to go this way. Kind of like Xbox, or the Xbox version of Doom 3, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where it was just... So, I mean, whatever. Those exclusive rights could bounce back and forth.
Elder Scrolls, of course, is another big one with RPG fans. Yeah. Skyrim and included in that and everything. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know if PlayStation cares, because look at their lineup of exclusives, including the fact that because it's Sony, they own the exclusive rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And we already saw the Spider-Man Miles Morales trailer is one of those that is coming out for PlayStation 5. So that is already on the tip of everybody's tongue. Of course, also on the PS4 and PS5, if you own the Avengers game, you will eventually be able to play as Spider-Man, because that will not be available on any other system. Once again, Sony owns it, so hey, why the hell not? Good little bonus. Once again, I think it's a good move by Xbox. Lately, you know, they were the one thing that Xbox was known early on in the battle was the place that had all of the the exclusive titles that you wanted to play, whether it's Halo or Gears of War or etc. They were like the owners of it, and that was the big knock on PlayStation, that there wasn't really that many. Because I mean, what was a shining example for a long time for PlayStation was MLB. It was the only place you could get an official MLB game. That was really their only shining example. But then out of that ashes, they tried other things. What was the, Ron, remember the game that was supposed to be like fucking Gears of War for PlayStation? They made like three of them. With the Chimera, I can't remember the name of the game.
I remember Heavenly Blade, but they only made one.
No, there was three of them they made. But anyways, somebody is going to be yelling at the computer screen or wherever you're listening. But anyways,
nerd.
Yeah. But anyways, they made a bunch of them and they tried it and then they just never took off. But then we ended up with, you know, Uncharted. We ended up with God of War. So they started coming around the corner. And then, of course, Sony really outdid themselves with the Spider-Man game. The exclusive rights, because they own Spider-Man, the rights to Spider-Man. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's more of a level playing field. I think getting Bastida helps out, because then there's some official content there. Also, they kind of cornered the market on some of the shooter games even, because think about it. This past weekend, if you owned a PlayStation, you didn't even have to pre-order it. You could have played the alpha version of Black Ops Cold War.
Yes.
And that was the only place you could play it on. So this weekend, I know Crazy Curtis Gaming, my stepson, he was playing it on stream this weekend. Nice. So people were getting into it only on PlayStation. So PlayStation's jumped into a lot of those things. So I don't know. Once again, I'm not a guy. I'm not going to say I am a PlayStation guy. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's the, you know, whatever, because that's just what I prefer. If you prefer Xbox, that's fine with me. I really don't care. I mean, just know you're wrong.
I like a Nintendo Switch.
I do love the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, but it does not compare.
So here's what I want to say.
Go sit on a parking cone.
I will say this, though, and I made this comment. You can argue about Xbox, PlayStation all day, that the Switch is a better machine than both of them. And it's versatile. The only thing that the other two have is they have the realistic graphics. Yeah. But see, Nintendo has found their niche, and that's the nice part about Nintendo, is they found what their niche is, and they've perfected that niche. So I give them credit. Also, I was saying, like I said to my wife, just think about the prices of games. Like, Switch games never lose value. Like, it's still $60 to buy Zelda Breath of the Wild. That was a title release. Like, that came out with the damn system.
Yeah.
And it's still $60 to buy that game. Like, even used, it's 50. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, by now, games that came out when the PS4 launched, they're giving them away for free. You can go to GameStop, they're like, just take them. We don't want them. We're not even buying them anymore. It's crazy.
If someone wants to get me a gift, buy me an N64 and a copy of Ocarina of Time, even though those are like $200 a piece.
Yeah, that's a crazy gift, my friend. Maybe when they put out the N64 Classic. I don't know if Ocarina of Time's on it or not, but maybe.
They might
put it on there. They've been known to put really good games. They put the Zelda games on the Nintendo Classic, the NES Classic.
Yes.
And they put Super Metroid on the SNES Classic, which is a huge game for SNES. I was kind of upset that when they announced on Mario Day, though, that they were only doing Super Mario 3D All-Stars and not the regular All-Star game.
Yeah.
Why did Wii get that shit? I'm talking about the Nintendo Wii got it. Got the updated version of All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting the 3D All-Stars. And I understand there's some people that love the 3D Mario games. I like the old side-scrollers. Give me updated versions for the Switch, damn it. And not the ones that I can play, because I do have the Nintendo Classic, as you know, so I get to play the classic games on there. But I want the up games, man. I want to be an entitled American, goddammit. That's right, I said it. Give me what I want.
I could go
for Super Mario 2 right now. Or I'm going to give you a zero rating. We can play Super Mario 2 on stream, even.
Yeah, I'm down.
You're down?
That was my least favorite of like the original, but like for some reason I do want to play that again.
Maybe we'll play some retro games on stream. Nice. There you go. Twitch.tv/607podcast. Cheap plug there. Follow it because maybe you'll see some of that. Because we can do it through the capture card and the Nintendo Switch because I have one. So with that being said, though, that's going to take us out of the nerd news this week. We're going to take a brief break. During this break, you're going to hear a promo spot. Well, we haven't been playing many promo spots in the show, but we're going to be playing a promo spot for our friends 30 and Nerdy. The reason being is because I will be recording a very special Crisis on Infinite Pods episode with the 30 and Nerdy gang. It'll be 30 and Nerdy, 3 Fat Nerds, the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour, East Coast Avengers, and our good friend Dre, who's @DreDriven83 on Twitter. We will all be coming together, assembling for Crisis on Infinite Pods, which I'm not even sure what we're really talking about. I know it'll be nerdy. I know it'll be good. I love the 30 and Nerdy guys, so I'm going to play you a promo for them, and then you just keep your ears and eyes posted on our social medias and this channel so you can find out when that podcast will be released. But I'll be recording it this week, and I'm assuming it's coming out this week, but I don't have the exact date for you. But this is how you can find their podcast. Check them out. And also how you can check out hearing me on their podcast when it's released. So listen to the promo. When we come back, it'll be time for the Dungeon Master's Corner.
Being a nerd as an adult can be difficult. Life gets a little busy to constantly be staying up to date with nerd culture.
Let's see. There's work.
Life.
Bills.
Stress.
Relationships.
Kids.
So you wish you could just turn something on during your hectic life that would keep you up to date at the push of a button.
Look no farther than the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Tyler. Here on the 30 and Nerdy Podcast, we enlighten, educate, and entertain with all things nerd.
We discuss, debate, and break it down on what's going on in nerd culture from the past, present, and future. And you know the cool part?
We're 30! So we bring it to you in a less hectic way and easily accessible through your favorite podcast platform. But no worries, you don't have to be 30 to enjoy the show.
So relax and keep up to date with us as we bring you nerd news you need to know, but don't have time to go searching for.
So come nerd out with us at the 30 and Nerdy Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you cast your pod. Cheers to you, nerds.
Welcome to Smash Corner this week. We got the new rules that are probably going to be coming out in the Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. The variant rules for the races. Just like with the human variant, you're able to get a feat and put 2+1+1 counters in any ability score you want.
My human has 2 feet.
So this is basically came out where if you want to play the numbers, you might be making a hill dwarf. From now on, because if they allow you to put, because the Hill Dwarf is the only race that lets you get 2+2 modifiers to your ability scores. So basically, you can make whatever you want, and you'll get +3 and +2 abilities pretty easily without even a problem, and probably a +2 in another one. So with this, like, your Hill Dwarf's, well, Mountain Dwarfs, sorry, I misspoke. Mountain Dwarfs are going to be able to do this. And so if you want to play the numbers, it'll be the new thing to do, either that or human variant with the feat, because feats at level 1 are broken in 5th edition. That's all I got to say. So, it won't be uncommon to have, a wizard with an AC as high as 16. Warlocks with, 11 hit points at level 1. If you're playing the numbers, you'll be fine. Like I said, I know I misspoke earlier, but it's the Mountain Dwarfs that get this, and it just makes it, because they usually get +2 in strength and +2 in constitution, but able to put it around anywhere you want. plus two in dex and plus two in intelligence, you got a wizard, plus two in charisma, plus two in dex, you got a sorcerer or a warlock, you know, your monk, whatever, and, you know, basically you're getting a plus two in dex with a dwarf pretty much all the time now. You know, if you want to do it the same way and get the strength and the con, I mean, for a regular fighter, that's fine too. But being able to move these around, so I can only see what they're going to do with the other races that allow this. If they're going to adjust it to where maybe a couple other ones get a feat or something, also, if they do that, it gives you other options, and it's always a good thing to make it better that way. I was a little skeptical on it before because I've always been like, okay, whatever. I like making the characters, that don't like the race that doesn't really do really well with it, like my half orc, rogue. You know, he was fun to play. Then like. The dragonborn monk that I had, like, it, I just like playing the randomness of a character that's not, shouldn't be that good in said role, but able to move forward with it all. You know, that's just how I've always liked to play. But you know, if they allow you to do this the variant way, take it. I mean, it's going to be fine. It shouldn't really break the game in too many ways.
And to the DMs out there, make sure you put all the stuff found in rooms on like a shelf. So the mountain dwarfs can't reach it. They have to figure out a way to get to it.
Well, if it's a wizard, you just mage hand. If it's a monk, you just climb. If it's a warlock, let's just say warlock in 5th edition. Yeah, if you're a warlock, you're OP. We've established that already. Fighters just knock down the shelf. Barbarians just whack at the shelf. For it. Cleric just call for divine power to get it down. Druids will sprout a... or turn wild shape into something taller. Rangers will just hit it with an arrow. Okay, I'm trying to think what else we can just negate everything. Yeah,
but if you shoot it with an arrow to get it down, then it's broken.
Not necessarily.
It could
be. If you call your shot. Well, you know, I'm just saying you can be Green Arrow. I don't know. Call shots have been out of D&D for a while, which is a good thing because, you know, back in the day when you could put death on, and I forget what the spell was, instant death or whatever, instant kill or whatever, word kill on an arrow tip and call a shot and hit a dragon in the eye and with a nat 20 and take him down in one shot, you know, kind of pissed off some people. But you know, that's back in the day. That's when stupid things could happen. But yeah, with all these with this all happening, like, it's going to give you different things so you can actually play something out of the ordinary without breaking the bank too much if you do the variant sides. So it'll be interesting to see it all. I mean, it's the step out of the traditional fantasy stereotypes, you know, because cancer culture is a thing. But, you know, it's just me. I'm good with it. Whatever, we'll figure it out. But that's all I got. Diesel's got some talking to do with some magic.
Yeah, this past weekend, Zendikar Rising pre-release. Of course, on twitch.tv/sexismpodcast, we did an unboxing Wednesday night before the pre-release. Diesel said that he wished he would be able to play with that, but with that, what we opened there. But you got some good cards anyways. How did your pre-release weekend go, Diesel?
For the course of the weekend, I did two events, and for a total of 9 rounds, and I went 8-0-1 for the course of the weekend. The one draw was an intentional draw in the Friday night one, and during the 5th round at like 2 o'clock in the morning, the two undefeateds, me and Westy, decided we would just chop prizes. Let me throw this out there. Friday night, I hated my pool. Like, you didn't get to do anything fun with it. Like, I played 2 out of my 7 rares because you got 6 packs and a promo. And I wasn't playing 2 that were in my colors because it was just like, eh, they're not that great for what I'm trying to do. Wasn't excited about this deck at all. It was just, didn't get to do anything fun, like new mechanics and learn about the format. It was just straight up red white aggro where I curved out at 5 with 1/5 drop, played 16 lands and 2 flip lands, and I did not drop a single game. Saturday, I had a sweet deck that I was super excited to play, and I went 4-0. I lost 2 games over the course of the day, but I did not lose a match. Landfall is a fun mechanic. And yeah, just going straight aggression worked Friday night.
All the landfall, all the time for Diesel.
Oh, you got to see that deck.
Get to see the deck on Saturday.
Got to play like 5 of the 7 rares in my deck. It was nuts. I probably shouldn't have been playing that bad goblin guide, the one that you really like, just because I never saw it on a time where it could swing the turn it came into play, and I wanted it to. The only time it saw play was turn one, play it. I can't attack because I need to hit four lands, and I can't deal with bouncing my lands back to my hand.
Absolutely. You know, this weekend, though, is going to be the first draft weekend. I didn't come down and play because we ended up having to do the UFC card. We live streamed on twitch.tv/607podcast, and we did it for my house. So if you watched the UFC thing, you know that we were on my couch doing that, and it was a lot of fun. So that's why I couldn't play on Saturday, because I had to get home and set up for that and all that happy jazz. But this week, I'm definitely going to be coming in. Even though I have a long weekend, I'm going to come in and at least play a round or two and draft for the first time in a long time. And I don't know, I might even play standard. There's a threat that I might use somebody's standard deck to play some standard. I don't know. It's going to depend on if that deck is completely put together by then. And
yeah, we got to make some changes.
You know, and then what's going on. But I feel like I might. So that's 50-50. Definitely for draft, and I can let you know how I did. But also, I have it all figured out. I'm going to be doing some MTG Arena. I created a whole new person. Which, you know, a profile there, 3FN Rich on there. So I'm going to be going on and playing some stuff and building up. And I know Diesel's going to be doing some of that streaming too. We're going to bring you some of that content. And that content's probably going to cross over even to YouTube. So keep your eyes set on that. We'll keep you guys posted. So we're going to do some magic stuff. So Diesel, though, I hear it's time for a little thing called Diesel's Movie Triple Stuff. I got a song for you, though.
All right.
Ready for it?
Raptors like a mission. To them out, they about to listen. Do it up, re-rock conditions. Make you bounce without permission. Check it out, we about to glisten. Bring them out, we strap them chickens. We don't need no strife in this, cause life's a bitch. Never doubt me, this lynch. Better triple lock your vixens, cause I make them rock predictions. Let go inhibitions and hit them this one with all the fixins.
So put the knife away, party your life away.
Hardly evil, cause we the party people.
Night. Welcome back to Diesel's Movie Triple Stuff. Well, this is a nice poll.
some gangster rap, yeah. Tech Nine. Yeah.
This is a nice poll. I know where it came from. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Box office. I'm not going to go through the top five. We've got a whole bunch of movies that are just still struggling. Everything hasn't opened yet, but Tenet has made its first major milestone. It has grossed 250 worldwide.
There 250 you go.
Million. So.
So how much more?
They still have $550 million to go to break even.
There you go.
If the reports were accurate.
So the countdown is on.
I kind of want to see it, but it's going to be a while before I get a chance to see it.
All right.
And nothing's really coming out yet because a lot of theaters still aren't open. I'm looking at you, New York. Really want to go see a movie.
Nah, I got you. Me as well.
But in honor of WandaVision's trailer dropping, this week's top three is your top three favorite sitcoms.
Sitcoms of all time, right?
Yep.
All right. So, all right. Let's see. This is a tough one because I had to discern between sitcoms and not sitcoms. Because a sitcom is a TV show, episodic every week, not like for instance, I was thinking about using In Living Color, but that's not a sitcom.
Yeah.
That is a variety show, for lack of a better term. But I just know I love that show. So going with sitcoms, number three, and it's the newest one on the list because I'm not counting anything streaming. I'm going straight old school, had to be on television, and none of them are going to probably be that new. So the newest one out of all of them was How I Met Your Mother. Up until the last season, I really enjoyed that show. I think that's why it's number three and not higher, because it was the last season, let's be honest, it
was forced. I think it was supposed to be canceled beforehand, and then it didn't. They picked it up for one more.
Of course, Topher Grace was out because he was becoming a movie star, and Ashton Kutcher was out.
No, that's a 70 show.
That's my number two choice, by the way. That's why. Number two choice, also the same thing, was that 70 show. Sorry, that's why I was getting them mixed up, because I jumped ahead of myself, folks. I'm sorry, I'm tired. So number two is that 70 show. Number three was How I Met Your Mother. Both of which had suffered from last season's being a little off.
Yeah.
But the other reason, like I said, now I'm mixing all my list up. My number one, we are talking about it in the pre-show, and it has always been my number one sitcom show. And that, of course, is The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I'm looking forward to the reunion like everybody else. So, Ron, what you got?
Oh, I'm going to be different. Your three and two are honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed that Netflix got rid of that 70 show,
because
that was always in my continue to watch. I would just put it on for background noise. So we'll go number three. We're gonna go All in the Family because you just
great show.
You can't
that and was, you can't remake that
you
show
can't
either.
Remake it, but it was amazing when it was there. Number two, I'm even gonna go Perfect Strangers.
Ooh,
I miss Perfect Strangers. That was actually pretty solid.
Balky was the shit.
Yeah.
Dude, great show.
It was really that was also a very groundbreaking show. It didn't get as much love as it should have, because I think it was what, four seasons.
Yeah, I think it was four or five. Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't last very long, but it was a great show.
Yeah, it was there for TGI Friday when it first started, and mm-hmm. it should have been. It should have stayed with it. Number one, we'll go with. You know what? I'm gonna go old school for my grandfather, Alice.
Okay, yeah, Alice is a good one.
I liked Alice a lot. When that was something my grandfather would always watch, so I'd always have to.
Diesel, you got your top three.
All right. Unlike Two and a Half Men, where it got worse after Charlie Sheen left, this show got worse after Charlie Sheen came on. And then we're talking about Spin City.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Oh, Spin City.
Michael J. Fox is great.
Michael J. Fox was great in that show. It was really good. Number two was actually a spinoff show of my number one. And that's going to be Empty Nest.
Well, I knew what your number one was. That's why I never even came close to picking, because I know. But yes, you're definitely giving away. Empty Nest really number two, huh?
Empty Nest was a fun show. Like,
I'm surprised you didn't go with another show, like go with Maud.
No, fuck
which
that.
Was not a spinoff, but it was is involving a star of the next show.
I wouldn't go with Maud because fuck B. Arthur. But you could go with Rue McClanahan and go with the show that she was on. Every now and then, Mama's Family.
Okay.
But yes, obviously, we are now talking about my number one, the greatest show of all time, Golden Girls.
That's right. Diesel loves the Golden Girls. If you guys have, he hasn't talked about it recently, but if you go through the archives, trust me, there's lots of Golden Girls talk.
There is. I'm going to throw Night Court in there, too.
Was great. Boos and Buddies.
Boos and Buddies. Oh,
when you were talking about Perfect Strangers, I was like, oh shit, Boos and Buddies as well. There's so many good ones. I mean, I can go back to Jeffersons. I was always a big fan of the Jeffersons. I loved All in the Family when you mentioned that. There's so many.
Then you got all the, you know, Friday, Thank God It's Friday ABC, like when we were kids, you know, Step
Family
by Step.
Family Matters, Step by Step.
Oh.
Full House was part of that. My Two Dads.
Ooh, yeah.
How about Married with Children?
Married with Children.
We're talking about sitcoms. Hopefully, if they're going decade by decade on WandaVision, hopefully when they get to the 80s, that's the one that they take after, because that would be amazing. Big fan of all those shows are great.
Even Married with Children version 2, I kind of dig. Modern Family?
Yes. That's not too bad. It's
enjoyable.
I never gave it a chance, and then I was watching it on syndication because it just got left on. And I was like, you know what? This isn't too bad.
Yeah, some of the newer ones, like, you know, like post like Malcolm in the Middle type style ones, like I think it has the mom that played in Malcolm in the Middle. I forget the name of it, but it had that brick kid. The Middle. It was just called The Middle. That was actually a decent show.
Yes.
You know what else? I also left a lot of the like the regular TV shows off because I didn't want to leave anything on. For sitcom, for me, it had to feel like almost small studio audience type of shit. That's why I didn't add things like Breaking Bad or The Wire. Because those are like basically movies. They're just extended movies because they're that great. That's why I didn't add it, if anybody's want to know. That's why I didn't add Netflix shows, because nowadays most of our shows are all... these big like movies that are just broken to sections.
Yeah, like for me, a sitcom is a 30-minute show that could be a comedy or a drama.
Boy Meets World.
It's episodic. Here. It might have a overarching storyline for the whole season, but it's not the main focal point. Every episode is watchable on its own. Yeah.
Basically, it's tidied up in 30 minutes,
or
you know, some of them slightly more because you had the specials that went on a little longer. But outside of that,
plus anything that's had its own very special episode.
Mr. Belvedere.
Kid with AIDS, growing pains with the alcoholic Tom Hanks uncle. No, that was Family Ties.
Nothing beats Different Strokes.
Family Ties,
yeah.
Nothing beats Different Strokes.
Poor Dudley.
Dudley and the Bikes.
Growing Pains was the going to the party.
Oh, the Coke party,
the Coke party. You want to go to the bathroom? I can't go when somebody's in there.
Kirk Cameron was always a goody-goody.
All right,
speaking of goody-goodies, we've come to Diesel's movie pick of the week.
Yeah, Movie Club.
Movie Club pick of the week.
There you go.
And that is, we're going with, like, lesser-known movies, but this one came out, made a little bit of a splash, but a lot of people haven't seen it. And we're going with Alpha Dog.
Well, you know, I usually go in a certain order on this, but I'm going to start with who's in this movie.
Oh, great. Because
this
cast.
Is, and I'm going to go longer than I normally go. Listen to this movie. By the way, it came out 2006. We'll give you the exact date in a minute. Of course, Justin Timberlake, Emil Hirsch, Anton Yelchin, Ben Foster, Sharon Stone, Bruce Willis, Olivia Wilde, Amanda Seyfried, Harry Dean Stanton, Amber Heard is in this movie. Of course, you know, she's fallen out of the limelight recently. Dominique Swan, Chris Marquette, and the list goes on. Alan Thicke, I could keep naming them. I just wanted to name a few. Yeah, this movie had a cast, my friends. Oh, a cast. Good. But now let's get to
Ben Foster, wasn't it? He was great in it, too. Oh, yeah. He was the older brother.
Yep, yep.
Oh.
So let's go on. Of course, the release date for this movie was originally at Sundance Film Festival, January 27th, 2006. It didn't get a wide release until January 12th, 2007. So a full year from when it debuted at Sundance, pretty much. It was distributed by Universal Pictures, so a big movie studio. It was written by Nick Cassavetes. It was produced by Sidney Kimmel and Paul Rolf, and it was also directed by Nick Cassavetes. You go down here, and it has a runtime of 117 minutes, and it had a budget of $9.5 million, and it made a box office draw of $32.1 million. So it did make its money back. Diesel, why is this the movie club pick this week?
Olivia Wilde naked, duh.
That's also a good one.
It's a lesser-known movie. I believe it's actually based on a true story. It falls
allegedly.
Under, yeah, it falls under the category of kids or not kids of Requiem for a Dream and the Rules of Attraction for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is one I'll probably watch it again soon, but this is one that you don't need to do a rewatch of. It's really depressing, but it's really good.
Absolutely.
And it's got a phenomenal cast.
I don't think it's as depressing as some of the other ones you just mentioned, yeah. But it is definitely, it's one of those more, it is not a happy ending kind of movie.
Yeah, that end scene was. With Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah. Not giving it away. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's actually a really good movie. And this is where I found out that J. Tim could act his ass off.
Yes.
Justin Timberlake is very good in this. And I actually like him as an actor quite a bit. Yeah. I like him in a lot of the stuff he's been in. And this is definitely one of those movies.
To be fair, I was honestly going to go with In Time for my pick this week.
Yeah, In Time is a great movie.
But I was like, no, we're going to definitely go J. Tim. And they're like, Alpha Dog was so good.
By the way, as a secondary thing, if you want to ever watch a good movie, In Time is also very good. I enjoy In Time a lot.
It was an interesting premise. It
there is some spots
really
in it
that good like, that it's sort of like the end kind of fell off.
Yeah, the end becomes like a straight action revenge movie.
Yeah.
But I liked up until that point. I like dealing with the backstories with Johnny Galecki and everything. So just getting off topic for a minute, In Time was always really good. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. Guess what, though?
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
All right, time to play the game! And of course, Diesel is on a little bit of a win streak. This is, what, 3 weeks?
Or three.
Two weeks in a row. This could be the third week. He could make it for the trifecta unless he gets knocked off by Ronald. And of course, the rules of the game are simple. It's whoever comes closest. We do file Price is Right rules unless there's a tiebreaker's necessity and then it's who's closest. But... we are going to start off, Ron, because you're the challenger. You get to start. IMDb, out of 10, with points, what did they give Alpha Dog?
7.6.
Diesel.
Oh, I was going to go 7.1, but I'm going to go a little bit lower just to hedge my bet because yours is so close to it. 5.0.
Diesel gets the point. It was 6.9 out of 10. Actually, pretty good. Pretty good score there from... our friends at IMDb. Okay, next up, Diesel. Critics only, Metacritic. Out of 100%, what did they give Alpha Dog? Sorry. I almost messed up with In Time.
It was a smash at Sundance. I remember that. I don't think it won, but I think the critics really like this one. I'm going to go with 80.
Ronald.
Go 50.
Ron gets the point. It was 53% on Metacritic. Okay. 1-1.
I was like, oh, do I go low? How low do I go? Do I just do the one?
Okay. Ron, back to you. Out of 100%, Rotten Tomatoes. Of course, this is the combined score of critics and fans. Rotten Tomatoes, out of 100%, what do they give? Alpha Dog.
76.
Diesel.
I was thinking 66. It doesn't give me much wiggle room. It can't be over 76, though. So we're going to go with 40 this time, because it might be even less than 50.
Diesel has won for the third week in a row. The actual final score was 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, so for funsies,
not bad. Like, yeah, it's still it's not certified fresh, but it's still not a stinker.
Okay, so funsies, out of 100% on Google, Diesel, what did the Google users give it?
And even 60%.
Ronald,
61.
It don't matter. For funsies, he just wants to beat you. It's actually 86%.
Wow. See, that's where. Yeah.
The Google users are usually friendlier to stuff. There's only been a couple movies where the Google users were low, and it was surprising too. I'm trying to remember the one, but the one was actually critically acclaimed, and the users gave it it was like a 60 or a 50. And a lot of these cult classics always get in the 80s somewhere. Yeah.
Quick little trivia. Usually. Do you remember the one movie that we picked that the score changed on Google users for?
No, I don't remember now.
Almost Famous.
That's right. It did change. It went up.
Had its anniversary the other day. It was like 21st or 20th anniversary
This did not change, though. I hit the thumbs up. It did not change. Because I always hit the thumbs up. And I also hit the watch button whenever we pick a movie for Diesel's Movie Club, unless I haven't seen it. And then I add it to my watch list. But with that being said, folks, it's time to pay them bills. It's time for some shameless plugs. That means if you can hear my voice, you know how to find us. But do your friends know how to find us? Do their friends know how to find us? It's simple. You type 3 fat nerds into any podcast provider. Bam, there we are. Smash the subscribe button so you can get our show downloaded to your pod provider of choice instantly every week.
We're also on Facebook. Same thing. You type in that search bar, 3 Fat Nerds Podcast. You're going to find our page. You're going to comment. Rate, review, help us spread the word of nerd.
Of course, we're on Twitter and Instagram as well, at 3FatNerdsPod. Remember, for all the social medias, use that hashtag 3FN whenever talking about the flagship show.
And if you need emails for any reason, 3FatNerdsPod@gmail.com.
First up, we have twitch.tv/607podcast. Go ahead and follow us there. It's free to follow, and you get all sorts of great content. We're putting out new content each and every week, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We come to you with 607 Podcast Presents the Wrestling Show. Yes, you can listen to it on podcast form right here on the 3 Fat Nerds Network of Podcasting. However, if you would like to join the conversation, you can do that on twitch.tv/607podcast. Of course, this upcoming weekend, we've got UFC 253 on Saturday night, live reaction and commentary. And on Sunday night, we have WWE Clash of Champions live reaction and commentary. And of course, we're gearing up 2 weeks from Sunday, or 2 weeks from Saturday, sorry, October the 3rd, DMG-a-thon, the all-day-a-thon. It starts at 11 a.m. and it ain't over till it's over. I'm assuming at least 10 p.m. And we're going to be raising some great money for DMG, hopefully to give them some money where the government didn't, and also for other charities. Nothing we are taking for ourselves. Hopefully we can raise some money for these great events. And also, we're going to be raising some money for the bands that are playing, because Shout at the Robots and Floodlands will both be playing that night starting at 8 p.m. And when they're on stage, all the donations will go to them. Also, you can support this podcast monetarily, though that money we do keep, and we do put it towards stuff for the podcast. And that, of course, you can do on Patreon. Patreon.com/8122Productions, to be exact. And for as little as $1 a month, you get a ton of extra bonus content, including the two Patreon-exclusive shows, I Love Movies, which we have an episode dropping this week with me and Diesel for Half Baked. I'll give the title, because last week we teased it, and I didn't get it out there, but it will be coming out this week. And then, of course, Diesel's personal pet project, the show that has to be behind a paywall, because we would get banned from every podcast provider on the planet if we ever chose to put it anywhere else, and that is Love is Scary with Dr. Derek. I wait for the days that Spooky Mike comes out of quarantine, because I just love the look on his face. The true horror and terror is my payment for this show, because Mike is definitely a little bit way more vanilla than you are, Diesel, and it's a lot of fun. Here's the bonus part. If you join our Patreon now through September 30th, if the $1 tier, you get a free 3 Fat Nerd sticker and a Horizon 607 sticker. If you join the $3 Chubby Chaser tier, you get both of those stickers, plus a pin, plus a cup, just for joining. So there you go. Now through September 30th, we're still running that promotion. Let us know. Get on it. Get in there. Patreon.com/8122Productions.
Did you say several times 8122 Productions?
Of course I did, Diesel.
As in /8122productions.com.
That's right, 8122productions.com for all things 8122 Productions. You can find out about the 3 Fat Nerds. You can find out about the wrestling show. You can find out about Horror Zone 607. You can find our friends of the show like the Ocho, Duro, Parlay, Hour. You can also find those great bands that I just mentioned. Shout out the Robats, Floodlands, plus Second Suitor, and the Phosphines from Melbourne, Australia. They're all over there. They have plugs. You can go ahead and find all of their music, by the way, on YouTube Music, Spotify, and Bandcamp. Go ahead and support them if you love them. And then also, you can find out about our local sponsors. You know, where you can find all that information, but we're going to give them a shout out here. First, to the people who provide us with this awesome studio. That's right, Dragon Master Games, 1235 Upper Front Street, Binghamton, New York. If you're in the mood to play at the Premier Magic Shop in the 607, come on in and drop by. If you don't live around here or you prefer to buy stuff online, that's easy too. They have a website for you, dragonmastergames.com. You know what? If you're driving through the 607 or you live in the 607 and you want to find out about events going on in the store, you can do that by liking their Facebook page, Dragon Master Games.
And thank you to Rex Terad's Auto Detailing, located at 2004 North Street, Endicott, New York. To call for our appointment, call 607-644-3389. When you're ready to put the pride back in your ride, don't forget to tell them the three fat nerds sent you.
Ronald!
Biggest waste of time ever. 1 out of 10 stars. Since Avatar was supposed to be such a groundbreaking cinematic experience, I thought I'd treat myself and go watch it in the local drive-in with my dog and my 2-year-old daughter. Boy, am I sorry I made that mistake. Not only is the movie boring as hell, it also doesn't have an ounce of originality. James Cameron, next time you make a blatant ripoff of Pocahontas, could you please at least try to make it interesting? And the CGI, it's atrocious. I thought the fanboys at work said it was a visual feast. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. Well, it turns out that it isn't. It's not more realistic than Jurassic Park, which was released over 2 decades ago now. It was so boring that an hour and a half into it, my daughter was literally crying and my dog had taken to chewing up the back seat of my brand new Mercedes-Benz C-Class. So not only did it cost me the price of a ticket, which would have been a ripoff in itself, it also cost me a new back seat. Thanks a lot, James Cameron. Do yourself a favor and stay away from this disaster. I'm giving this atrocity 0 out of 10 stars.
Whoa, a 0 out of 10.
Yeah, because you can't do zeros.
So it had to be a 1, literally, but he meant 0.
He did mean 0, and that was Reviewer Champ.
Ooh, he's a champ of reviews, even.
Yep.
He's the reigning champ of reviews.
So Avatar just sucks, people.
There you go. Well, that's another show in the books. Hope you guys were entertained. We will be back next week to give you what you need in the world of pop culture and nerddom, because we do that each and every week here. Until then, stay safe, take care of one another, and most importantly, the last thing I have left to say to you folks, later, nerds!
Later.
Got a brief homework assignment for you people out there. You can't find it streaming, but if you could find the movie Freak Talks About Sex, I won't do it for my movie pick, because it's so obscure, but check out that movie, Freak Talks About Sex, or Blowing Smoke, as 2 titles.
And by the way, that was filmed in Syracuse, New York.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Avatar just sucks.
You're falling apart, and you know it. You try and try to hide it, but you show it. I need you to know trying to figure it out, just like you, just like you, just like you. If you could see through my eyes or feel through my skin, maybe then you'd understand. But you never did. You never took the time to ask how I felt, assuming